Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. So we continue this Sunday with our sermon series on the kingdom of God, God's kingdom. And we've been taking different ways of approaching it, looking at it, and we'll do that again this morning. We're going to look at the expectation of its coming. But before that, I feel like maybe I need to say a little bit more about just what this expectation was for the Jews of the first century, and therefore what it is for us. What are we expecting when we say that we are awaiting the coming again of Christ, we are awaiting the coming of the kingdom. When we pray, as we talked about last week, the Lord's Prayer, in which we pray for God's kingdom to come, what is it that we're asking for? What is this kingdom that we are expecting? And I want to get into this because I think what happens is we hear in the gospel texts mention of the kingdom of God, and in particular in Matthew's gospel, which is not the gospel we're reading through this year. We're in the year of Luke, so we're reading through Luke's gospel. But Matthew's gospel, which is very familiar to a lot of people, will change the phrase from kingdom of God to kingdom of heaven. This is a euphemism so that Matthew can avoid even kind of making any oblique reference to the name of God. Matthew, we assume, was a good Jew, and Jews are always very careful around the name of God, something we can learn from them, I think, to be careful around speaking even the words that are not necessarily the name of God, but reference back to the name of God. And that's what Matthew does. He changes what Jesus said, kingdom of God, to kingdom of heaven. And I think what happens is we read that and we immediately think, oh, he's speaking about God's kingdom in heaven or as heaven. In other words, God's kingdom only as something that we will arrive at after we're dead and we have been raised in the resurrection. Something to be hoped for beyond this life. And yet, it's Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, as we mentioned last week, that should disabuse us of this way of interpreting kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, because it's in Matthew's version, the way Matthew remembers Christ teaching the Lord's Prayer, that after Jesus says that we should pray, thy kingdom come, we hear these words, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. In other words, the kingdom is already well established in heaven. Heaven's going fine. Heaven's not the problem. The question is God's kingdom on earth. And when we pray for the kingdom of God, we're not praying that we get taken away from the earth, that we get somehow swept up and taken out of the mess that is the world we know, but that God's kingdom be established on earth. That the same goodness and love that orders heaven would come and order the earth. That's what we're praying for in the Lord's Prayer every time we say, thy kingdom come. And I mentioned this last week. I said it's about God's commandments. If God's commandments are truly lived out in the earth, on the earth, by his creatures, by human beings, that would be God's kingdom coming to earth. But there's a danger in saying that because you might think, oh, God's commandments being lived out on earth, what Father Nick is talking about is all that stuff, those long lists in the books of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And, you know, is Nick really telling me, is Father Nick really telling me that if I quit wearing clothes that are made of blended fabrics and I start wearing clothes that are made of only one fabric, like it says in Leviticus we should do, that God's kingdom will come to earth? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the summary of the law, the commandments as we find them on the lips and in the life of Jesus, which we say at the beginning of our liturgy every Sunday, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. If we each lived out these commandments, God's kingdom would be here on earth. If each of us had our hearts fully directed towards God as the ultimate destination of our love, and then we loved all other things in order from God down to ourselves, so that we even love our neighbors as ourselves. If each and every one of us would do that, not only would we individually be righteous, but we would finally see the justice of God in the world. We would finally see the just, if all people lived like that, God's reign would be evident throughout the whole world because God's justice would be clear to all people. That's not the world we live in. And we know that, and we talk about that in terms of sin and evil, that not only is it that non-Christians don't live up to this, not only is it that the unwashed, the unbaptized, don't live up to this, but we who have been baptized into Christ's body, we who have put on Christ, we who have received the love of God and been redeemed by that love and enlivened by that love, yet we also do not live up to these commandments. We also do not love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, or love our neighbor as ourselves. But if we did, we would no longer have to pray for God's kingdom to come. It would be here, just as it was there in first century Israel, in these little homes, in these little hamlets in the Galilee, as Jesus made his way to each of them, teaching, healing, eating with the people who he stayed with. Because he truly did love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loved his neighbor as himself. Because he truly did embody these commandments, the kingdom of God was there with him, in him. He was the king and the kingdom. He is the king and the kingdom. And where he is, the kingdom is. And so the kingdom would burst in to the world wherever he went. And that's what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray that God's kingdom will come. That is, that we will be taken up, not away from this earth, not away from this world, but taken up into the love of God while we live on this earth and in this world in such a way that people will know the love of God and God's justice and God's mercy here in the midst of this world that is fallen, that is sinful, that is marred by evil. And the only way that we can talk about this is as a future event, because We are never there. It's not as if we live like Christ and therefore can say everywhere we go, the kingdom of God goes with us. If any one of us loved God fully and loved our neighbors as ourselves, if any one of us did that, we could say, there where that person, there where Don is, that's where the kingdom of God is. There where Sid is, that's where the kingdom of God is. There where Jeanette is, that's where the kingdom. But none of us do this. And so we always have to talk about the kingdom of God as something far off, something that we are asking God, begging God to bring to this fallen, sinful, this evil besmirched world. Something that we are awaiting, expecting, anticipating, something we're praying for, something we're hoping for, something in the future. That's how we have to speak of it. And yet the parable today challenges us. Jesus tells the story of this man who has a bumper crop so good that his barn can't even store it. His silos aren't even large enough. He has to tear it all down and build new structures to store all of his crop. You might say that he's probably singing that song, "My future's so bright, I gotta wear shades." I mean, things were looking good for him. And yet, in the midst of that, death sweeps in and takes his life. And all of that planning, all of that hoping, all that expectation for the future of a good life in the future, it just dissipates like a candle flame that's been blown out, and you see the smoke rising up and then slowly disappearing into the sky. All of his hopes, his expectations, his plans for the good that he will have in the future gone away. Because he was too focused on that future. He is putting it all off to another day. That's the temptation that comes along with our expectation that the kingdom of God will come one day. That's the temptation that accompanies our anticipation that the kingdom of God is something in the future that we'll get to someday. If we are always just thinking about the kingdom of God as the thing that will one day fix all the wrongs of this world, but for now we have to live in the messiness of this world. For now we have to deal with the ugliness of this world. For now we'll just go ahead and be content with the sin and the evil and the violence of this world. Then we will never reach the kingdom. I think about this trope that you sometimes will see in especially comedies or romantic comedies, but I think it shows up across literature, across movies, where the protagonist, the hero, is looking for something or searching for something, and that thing is right in front of them, but they always somehow miss it. And I'm sure you can think of plenty of examples from TV shows or movies. The one that comes to mind for me is Lois Lane and Superman, right? Whether it's in the comics or the TV shows or the movies, Lois Lane is in love with Superman, and she's always trying to reach out to Superman. She's always looking forward to her next encounter with Superman. She's always seeking out Superman, and all along she's ignoring Clark Kent, who's sitting right next to her, who of course is Superman. That's kind of what Christ is warning us against. Yes, we pray for the coming of the kingdom. Yes, we must speak about the kingdom of God as something that is not yet fully realized in this world. Something we must expect, anticipate, look forward to. But if we become too focused on the horizon, if we become too focused on the way things will be one day, and allow ourselves to be content with the way things are now, we will miss the kingdom of God in our midst. For it is in our midst. Because wherever Jesus Christ is, there is the kingdom of God. He is not just the king, but the kingdom itself. And wherever Christ is, there is the kingdom of God. And though we speak of him coming again one day, he has not left us. He is with us. He has promised this to us. He has said to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the world." He is with us. And where we are gathered together in his name, his holy name, where just two or three, not even many of us, are gathered together in his name, he is there in our midst. And that means that in that place, the kingdom of God is present. For the love of God is there for us and with us and in us. In spite of us drawing our hearts to God, filling our hearts with compassion for our neighbors, for our friends and our family, for strangers we meet, and yes, even for our enemies. In spite of ourselves, the love of God takes hold of us and shines forth whenever we gather in his name. His love transforms our loves. And we are invited in that moment into the kingdom of God already in our midst. Amen.